Well, let's just open our Bibles as we get started to John chapter 3. And pretty soon, we'll be streaming with these things live over the internet. You just hold on tight. Wherever you are, if you find yourself on vacation, you can just dial in and tune in on your iPad, iPhone, whatever kind of phone, smartphone, computer you have, whether you're in the United States or abroad, you just dial in and tune in so you can stay connected. Amen. And that's coming real soon. Just keep the switch of faith turned on. John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you know, just as an aside, even though we're not streaming these live on the internet, they're going around the world now to countries that I'm not going to bore you with information, but internationally, in some of the countries, it's just exploding. In Kiev, Ukraine, Russia, all the various Eastern Bloc nations, Japan, and so forth, it's just exploding. We're also seeing hits from Russia, a lot of activity from China, and so we thank God for that. And there's a hunger in the heart of man to know the truth of God. And once they get a taste of the truth, nothing will satisfy. And they'll hunt and hunt and search and search and search high and low. And when they find it, you know, that it's over. Or just the beginning. So here's the question that I open this lesson up with, is what is the condition of your heart? And we've heard some of this. Now, I would just say, for some of you that have been coming to church for a while, this may seem basic to you. And some of the information may be basic. But it's good to hear it again and again and again. I listen to things over and over and over and over. It may seem repetitious, but I may listen to a CD 50 times, 60 times, and I get it down, and sometimes when I'm hearing it, it's like I heard it the first time on the 50th time. Because why? God is revealing things about some of the messages that I may hear like it's the first time. So we need to do that. And when we talk about the heart of something, we're referring to, again, we've shared this, the central or innermost part of something, the heart of an apple, the heart of a tree, or the center or core of something, or the essential or most vital part of something. And the scripture says in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, it says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible." See, once you got born again, the heart of man was changed. It was supernaturally changed, and you were made incorruptible. It's no longer corruptible. And so that's what is going to give you access. It's been sealed by the blood of Jesus. It's been sealed by the Holy Ghost. And so now you have eternal life. You have God's very nature residing on the inside. Where? In your heart. Now, We know these scriptures. I'm going to just share these. It says, therefore, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Where? This spirit man has become brand new. And Ephesians 4:24. Why don't you turn over there a moment, over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We've become brand new creatures, new spirit, new spirit being. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 24. It says, and that you put on, who? You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now I like this. This is the Message translation. And starting in verse 21, it says, my assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life. Listen to verse 23. This is a message. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. So the inside is going to be shaped in his image as we do what? We put on the new man. We've got to do something. Yes, this spirit has been changed, but now we've got to do something. We've got to increase in the knowledge of God. In Colossians 3:10, I'll read this for you. It says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed. See? Renewed what? In knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Now, I like this. Sometimes I like to look up words in the Greek and Hebrew lexicon. But this word renewed struck me. It said renewed what? How? In knowledge. Well, renewed means to make new. It means to be changed into a new kind of life, as opposed to the former corrupt state. So we're actually transformed and transfigured. We're renewed. We're changed. We know that from glory to glory into the image of God. And one of the things that I like is, what does it say? I believe in, I'll go over here and read it, the scripture that comes to mind. I believe in 1 John, is it 1 John 3, I'm thinking, it says, beloved, now, yeah, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What does it say, beloved? Now. Now are you the sons of God. But as we are renewed in knowledge, we're going to become, he's going to change our character from glory to glory and line upon line and precept upon precept. And so that's the part that we're going to have to do. We have to put on the new man. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. And leading up to verse 24, it would be good to just read on your own. You can read, well, maybe we'll take the time and do it now. Verses 14 down to 24, it says that, Ephesians 4, that, what did I say? 3, I'm sorry, Ephesians 4 and verse 14, I'm sorry. And verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, see, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. See, when you look at verse 13, it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How are we going to do that? Through the knowledge of God. And when it goes on, it says, so that, or you could say, so that we're what? We henceforth be no more children. See? And that's how you're going to grow up, is to grow through being renewed, putting on the new man. And then, of course, you can go down in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And that blindness means hardness. See, so we need to make sure that our hearts are right. And to make sure they're not blinded to the truth. Everybody with me today? Now, and then of course that continues, and you can see here down in verse 22, it says that you do what? You put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. See? And then it says, and be what? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you do what? You put on the new man, which we read, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then it continues. And you can go down here and, but see, look at verse 29. When we're renewed in the spirit of our mind, look at verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what? Good. Blessing. See? To the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then it goes on, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are forgiven. We've been translated out of darkness and into the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to, for a moment, turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. And let's look at verses 20 through 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 20 through 23. When you get there, say amen. Now, we're talking about our heart, and we're still talking about the grace of God. Because the condition of your heart will affect your faith, and when your faith is affected, you won't grow in grace. You'll have a bad image. Now, what is this in Proverbs 4? It says, I'll start with 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all thy flesh. Now look, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it what? The heart, are the issues of life. Now let me read it in some other translations. This is the God's Word translation. Guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Now I like this. There's a few translations I like. This is the Complete Jewish Bible. See, and when I start talking about the condition of your heart, the condition of your heart is going to be based on some things that you think about and meditate on. And then when you get that down there deep enough, you're going to talk about it. And then when it starts coming out of your heart, listen to what the complete Jewish Bible says. Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. See, what comes out of your heart is going to be the source of life's consequences. Now, this is the Good News translation. This is a modern translation. It says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. If you think it's impossible, it will be impossible. If you think that someone is against you, you're defeated. See, you got to change your thinking. This says here, see, and you say, well, you don't know. Now, I may not know, but God's word is superior to what you know. Because in Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. So we may not have experienced your stuff. And we don't know what you went through. We can't empathize with that. But God has given you a plan. He said if you keep your heart right and you fill it with God's word, nothing will be withheld from you. You'll make your own way. You know how Brother Hagin's has books out saying, write your own ticket with God? Anybody ever see that? Well, that's how you do that. That's not telling God what to do. God's given you the formula on what to do. You're not telling God what to do, but you've been made a priest and a king, and you are made in a God class. He made you in his image and in his likeness, and you are to do what? To have dominion and to replenish in this earth, not be subject to it. God spoke and created. Now, we're not in his class in the sense that I can't create worlds, but you will create something. You will create something with your word. You will either create death or life. And this is very clear here. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think you're poor, if you think that you can't make it because of how you were raised, and you talk it, and talk it, and talk it, you'll never get to first base. You'll stay there. And see, what happens is, when I get over it, when the Lord asked me, see, when the Lord asked that question, he asked that before he asked me the question, the condition of your heart. So when he said, why do people blame others? I went, well, there's a whole lot of reasons why people blame people. You know, there's a lot of situations. But see, God has already given you the formula to be a success. And so when you've been given something, you've been given the key and the formula. See, you can't blame anybody now. See, the blame game is gone. It's over. See, now the only thing is that you don't see it, and God hasn't revealed, or you don't have a working knowledge of that. It's head knowledge. And your mountain seems bigger than the reality of God's word. See, it's bigger because you've been talking it so long that it's immovable. But the more we talk God's word, the more we get that inside, you'll walk around the mountain. You'll walk over it, obliterate it, I mean, the things that seemed impossible will no longer be impossible for you. Things that were insurmountable. You know, when I worked here, you know, working here at the ministry, you get asked to do things you never did. You just come and you just say, okay, I'm here to work, and they go, do that, and you go, well, all right now. Okay. I remember the first time, you know, I fussed around on the soundboard when I first started because God told me to work sound. And I did. And I bumped around there for a long time. And made a lot of mistakes. But the interesting thing was that God began to, you know, help me. That's all I could say, help me, because I needed it. But I remember Pastor Clinton came in one day in the office and he said, very, very curt, you know what I mean, just like, and he said, as they're walking through the office, he did this, all right, have the radio room set up, we're doing a live broadcast tomorrow. And I went, I'm serious, I said this, but I've never done that before. He said, I said, have the radio room set up. We'll be there tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Be ready. And I said, but we never did that. I never did that before. How? And I did it three times. You know, it took a while for it to sink in. But sometimes you need somebody to raise their voice and go, I said, get the radio room set up. We'll be there. And I went, yeah, right. I got it. Right. And I did. But what happened was you're going to be put in situations that I didn't know. I didn't know who to call. So who do I call? Who did I call? I called the Holy Ghost quickly. I said, how do I do this? And I heard right down here, do the same thing you normally do when you set up sound. Set up a mixing console, set up a mic, set them up, and so forth and so on. I go, oh, I can do that. And so through that process, by putting my hands to the plow, he began to anoint and to show me how to do that, to the point where you're recording. This is way back before we had computers and digital workstations and all the things, the technology we have today. I was doing that on reel-to-reel. Splicing and doing all of that, putting a program together to go out to the radio stations. And you learn. But I guess my point is you're going to be put in situations in life where you cannot use an excuse anymore. You've got the Holy Ghost. And you're going to get put in situations where you're going to just need to ask for help. Just say, I don't know how to do this. Any man lack wisdom, do what? Ask. That's all. You just ask, and he will provide. He'll give it to you. So we need to keep our hearts and our minds clear. This is a New Century Version. It says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. See, and I've gone over this before, but you can look these up on your own. Your thoughts will run your life. You know that. Some of us have been trapped in years past. I go, yeah, that's for sure. Till I got free from that. This is the New Living Translation. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Your thoughts will affect everything you do. And so the condition of your heart, based on that, we say stuff. And that stuff that comes out of our mouth is what's going to affect the direction of your life. It's going to affect everything you do in life. If you say, God is opening doors for me that no man can open and no man can close. And God's doing that. And every door in front of you could be shut and they could be putting up a big sign saying, no! It doesn't matter what man says. It's what God says that counts. And as long as you don't embrace the lie. See, some of us need to bury the stuff, the lies that have been spoken about you, about your family, about whatever, you need to bury that stuff like it doesn't exist. What do you do when somebody's buried? They're buried. That's it. It's done. It's gone. You never go back and pick it up again. And some of us need to bury things that have been said about us, hard things, cruel things, bad things about you. You need to bury them and stop meditating on them. And like they don't exist. So when the devil brings it up, you go, I don't know who you're talking about because I buried that. It doesn't pertain to me anymore. You see. And that some of us need to do that. I'm not saying all of us, but every person has something. There's a little button, you know, that brings back things. And we need to just say, no, I buried that. That's gone. I'm a new creature in Christ. And that doesn't affect me. See? Because those little things, those little foxes will affect your faith and it'll hinder you growing in grace. Because you'll stumble on those things. And that affects your identity. Because what sometimes we meditating on, your identity, you don't identify with what God calls you. You're identifying with what people call you. You get tripped up because your boss calls you a funny name. And you get angry, you get mad. Does that pertain to you? No. If it doesn't pertain to you, just smile and say thank you. There you go. Now, the word issue, when it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word issues means the borders, the extremities of our life. Those borders are affected by what comes out of your heart. So it can be very tiny, your border, or it could be unlimited. No borders. You see, you establish that. Now, Romans 12:2, and we're still talking about grace here. We're talking about what's the condition of your heart. Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've got to be transformed. And that's a lifelong process. You're constantly being transformed. And actually, that word means to be transfigured, is really what it means, if you look it up in the modern translations. I like the J.B. Phillips translation. Listen to this. I mean, this is a great translation. This is Romans 12:2. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. I like that. Let God remold your minds from within. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't do that. You find yourself in situations, don't let that dictate to you what you can and cannot do. Don't let that dictate to you. You're a king. You're in a new kingdom. You're under different laws. You have different things available to you. You've got God's word. And nothing is impossible to you who believe. So the only person that will make or break the situation will be you. You're the determinant. Now, our identification, there are things that God has for us that we will not obtain unless we identify with Him and His Word. We have to receive Him by faith and the promises of God. Our identity is necessary to move into the inheritance that God has for us. So what are you identifying with? Are you identifying with what the world and people say about you, or are you identifying with what God says about you? Who are you? It's a good question. Who are you? I am the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. I have rights and I'm in right standing with God. If you can't say that boldly, if you're unsure, then you need to renew your mind. You need to identify with that and have that solidly in your heart when the issues of life come at you. Who do you identify with? Because based on that is going to determine whether you walk in the provisions of God and the benefits and the blessings. That's going to be a determinant. So that identification, the revelation of who you are in Christ, that's what the devil is fighting. He's fighting all the time to come against what I would call the revelation of the divinity, your divinity. Because in Christ you are divine. You have his eternal life. And so he's trying to block and hinder that revelation of who you really are in Christ. Because when you know who you are, you become an unstoppable force for God. And you say, there's nothing impossible to me. I can win this city. I can win this town with God's help. We can come against every wicked force that's hindered this city. And that's in your heart, you have to know that. So we're to, as 1 Corinthians 15:34, it says, we're to awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. So when we awake to righteousness, we will not be sin conscious. See, we won't look at ourselves. We won't walk in a condemned heart. We won't look at what we have and don't have. We're gonna know it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that lives in me. And I can do all things through him. Now, let's ask this question. But let me go over here. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Well, let's back up to 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So you were chosen before the foundation of the world. And it says that we should be what? Holy and what? Without what? Blame. Before him in love. So, God is holding you without blame. You're without blame. The minute you came into salvation, the minute you received Christ, you received his righteousness, you are in right standing with God. You're without blame. There is no blame. So for you, it means that you are without blemish, you are faultless, you are unblameable, you're without rebuke, you're without blame, you're without blemish. You're faultless. And some, we need to think like that. Before God, I'm without blame. Before God, I have no blemishes. I'm without spot. I'm faultless before God. See, because if you think you are, as a man thinketh, so is he. And you need to think what the scripture says. What does he say? You are without blame. So that means, see, if you think and meditate on your past, then your heart is condemned. God's not condemning you. You think on the things that you did, and what does it do? It hinders your faith. It hinders your confidence and assurance before God. Because you're always thinking, well, he's got to, I know him. Well, what about that? And what about this? And I did this. And I don't feel forgiven. You can't feel righteousness. Do you feel God? God is a spirit. He manifests himself, but God is not something you feel. He's a spirit. You believe in God. He's real. And you can't feel righteousness. You've got to do what? Take his word as is. And so if he says you're righteous, then you are. And the word in Ephesians 5:27, it says that he might present it to himself. He's talking about the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy with what? Without blemish. You are without blemish. That means you're not with blame. You're without blame. Anything that you've ever done, it's been forgiven. You're without blame. See, when you look up the word blame, anybody look it up anytime? What does it really mean? What does blame mean? Anybody know? What is, when you blame, what does that mean? Accuse could be a word, right? How about to find fault with? See, or to hold responsible. When you blame somebody, you're holding them responsible for something. That's what you're doing when you blame somebody. Or you're placing the responsibility for something in your life on them. You're holding them responsible for some condition. God is holding you blameless. You are blameless. You are free from the guilt of any condition that has been perpetrated here. We've been delivered out of darkness. That means we've been delivered from the hold and power of what caused us to do things in our life. We've been delivered from that. We've been made new creatures. And so we need to start accessing the provisions. We need to raise our sights in this earth and begin to take territories and things that we've been hesitant to do. Because we didn't think that, well, we thought that was too big or too much or too expansive. No, God wants us to raise our sights. He wants us to look higher. He wants us to reach farther. Take more for the kingdom of God. Do more. And it's going to take a righteousness consciousness. Because you are blameless before God. You are a king and a Lord here under the lordship and kingship of Jesus. And so we are here when we come to a place, we should leave it better than when we came. Not worse. The favor and grace that is upon us, we should leave it in a better condition. See, when we blame, we're actually judging someone. When you blame someone, you're judging. And we know we're not supposed to judge. Judge not that you be not judged. Let me read this. It says, we blame others for life situations because we feel we are helpless in that situation. With God, nothing is impossible. When we blame others, we hold them accountable for life situations. And there comes a point in every man and woman's life where they have to come to grips with these unfortunate life experiences and take responsibility and use our God-given measure of faith to overcome. We're going to have to take responsibility. We're going to have to say, okay, I was dealt some bad cards in life. So what? Because God sees and knows that man in his state is fallen. He sent Jesus here to handle that, to deal with that. And so that may sound cold when you say, so what? But the bottom line here is that you've been given God's word. And if we can't overcome this, if we can't overcome some of the cards that we've been dealt with in life, how will we grow in grace with God's divine favor to walk into impossible situations? You won't. To me, it's no different than the army or basic training or anything else. They train them, they train them, they train them, they train them, and keep training them. And then when they're done, they go, great. And they stick them where? Right smack in the middle of impossible situations. But what? They're trained. And a lot of people don't make it through those basic trainings because what do? They give up. They quit. But we are not, what does the scripture say? It says that do not faint, for in due season you'll reap. If you do what? If you faint not. See, so we don't want to faint. We want to march through these things. Didn't say it was going to be pleasant to the flesh. But we can. We can grow. We can come through these things in life. But we're going to have to take hold of the Word of God. And you may not be, you may be living high. Take the Word of God and help someone else. Now think about this. When you go to Genesis and you look at Genesis 45, did Joseph blame his brothers for selling him into slavery? No, he did not. And he had every right to. But he didn't blame them. And if you look at it, in verse 5, he says in Genesis 45, 5, he says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. And verse 7 says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. See, he didn't blame his brothers. He could have. See, he took responsibility. And he saw his purpose. See, we've got to understand our purpose in the earth, identify with God's word and his purpose for our life, and we'll overcome. We'll overcome every obstacle. And then we can see the greater purpose of reaching souls for people. You know, you could think, just think about when you think of the lives of people that have had unfortunate and very difficult circumstances in their life that overcome and come out and are an assist or an aid to mankind. And so when you find and you run into people that are trying to process, because the world is, they're trying to process, why me? How come? And you need to help them sometimes through that. And see that God is the answer. He'll help you through it. He'll get you through. And so, as we're going forward, and just the scripture that Deacon Alice was sharing this morning, I hadn't really saw it that way, but Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. Sometimes you see a scripture and you go, wow, I didn't see it that way. Matthew chapter 6, and it says in verse 27 in the King James, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? See, that's like taking an anxious thought and commiserating with your problem, isn't it? It's exactly what it is. See, and sometimes we look at that, and what does it say? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See, and sometimes, you know, I say this, but people blame other people because they're not making enough money. And they get an attitude because I'm not getting enough to meet my needs. So why take ye thought? You see, why blame when you've been given the provisions of God and he's already told you, Jesus has already said, O ye of little faith, why take thought? I've already provided. I've already provided. You are a king and a priest. You need to be the one receiving and taking that which I've already provided. How are you going to take what's already provided? You're going to have to take it from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. What's going to do that? Faith-filled words. So we're going to walk by faith and not by sight, or we're going to walk by sight and just bump through life. But I believe that God is focusing things. Every now and then, God will pinch. You know how he pinches? And you go, why'd you say that? Why are you talking like that? You know better. See, and everybody, in however, whatever growth you are, we all get pinched every now and then. Why'd you say that? Why'd you talk like that? See, because what God is going to require of us is that once we know better, see, then you're going to be more accountable. You're going to be held accountable for the light that you have. See, it's different if you're a baby. But we've been being developed, and so we can't just use words recklessly anymore, because the objectives that he's giving us are bigger objectives. And he's holding us accountable. And it's not just being accountable. How many know when I'm going to use an army kind of an analogy. But when you have a special team, they're given special objectives, and they're held to a higher standard. And those objectives are meaningful objectives. So for instance, in the army, they may say, okay, we need that objective over there, and we need this group to do it. Well, they're highly trained, highly specialized, and they're going to be held more accountable because they know better. And God is looking for this ministry to take some objectives and to affect the world where he has spent these 30 years developing a foundation, because that was the prophecy that came out to Pastor Sarah. It said, I've spent 30 years and the foundation is just now complete. So, you know, you say, well, I heard this already. Why are we talking about this all the time? I already know that already. This is boring. Okay. It won't be boring when your backside is getting kicked up a little bit. It won't be boring then. Then all those things that you need to know, you're going to be like, where's my prayer? No, it ain't time for a prayer partner. It's a time to know. It's a time to execute. And it's the time to take the objective. See, class is over. Class is over. And I believe God is getting us to a place where class is over. He's saying, is ready to take. Now's the time. The foundation's built. Now the time. I've developed this group to now take objectives. Take this city. Take this mall. Take that. And you don't hesitate. You don't go, how are we going to do that? We don't have the money for that. What's that got to do with it? Money doesn't have anything to do with that. Your faith does. Because the things, always remember this, that faith, think about this, we'll close. When Jesus came to the earth, what does the scripture call Jesus? It calls him the last, the second Adam, didn't it? So he was operating as a man like Adam. Who are you? See, if I told you, do you operate like Adam? You go, no. My question is, why? Why not? When Jesus was on the earth, he had dominion over time. He had dominion over matter. He had dominion over it. What about you? Are you subject to it or are you above it? And see, you are made in God's image and likeness. The words that you speak, the identity that you have, will determine what you can do. And God is saying, you are made in my class. You are not subject to the conditions. You are the one sent here to change the conditions. You are not subject to time. See, was Jesus subject to time? He wasn't subject to time when he created water into wine. Because it takes time to grow the grapes, to pick them, press them, and then ferment them. That takes time. And he said, fill the pots and send them to the governor. He was not subject to time. See, and when you have to get $20 or $50 million, you can't work long enough to earn that money. But when I speak to it to come in, I'm not subject to time. See, that's what I'm talking about. And there are places where, I mean, I don't have the reports here, but I know when one of the former staff members here, he was sharing about the food program somewhere in Africa. I don't remember if it was Kenya or it was Nigeria or Rwanda. I don't remember. That would be Uganda. But he said, the country said, send them to them to feed them. We don't have the wherewithal. And they were feeding 50 to 100,000 a day. You know what they did? They filled the pots and they kept scooping and scooping and scooping and scooping and scooping and scooping, and they never ran out. They were not subject to the conditions. And God, and that is a witness to the world. And the world is going to send them to us because we know who we are in Christ, and we're going to walk on a higher place, think like God, and walk like God's in the earth. We're going to walk like what? His sons. Now are ye the sons of God. See? And it says, it doth not yet appear. No, it's starting to appear. Who we really are. See, and you think, well, I don't know about that. Well, it's happening. To those who believe. To those who believe. And I've made up my mind. I don't know about you. I know there's a bunch of you here. I've made up my mind not to be dictated to as to what we can do, what we can have, where we can go, what we can say. No. We are God's sons and daughters and representatives in this earth. See? And the devil is trying to hinder the church and trying to dictate to the church through mechanisms what you can do, what you can have, what you can say. No. No. You've got to be militant and just say, no, God said this, that's it. We're going to have this, we're going to do this, we're going to go here, we're going to take this. For God. Because what it all boils down to is, it's about reaching people. There are billions of people that don't know Jesus. And it's going to take a people that have a mind like God. It's not about having stuff for stuff. No, it's about taking things so that you can accommodate this last great harvest. That's what it's about. Praise God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Let's raise our sights. Raise our sights and see the fields white with harvest and say, we're going to do it. We're going to go there. We're going to do it for God. See, I know, you know, you read stories about, I believe that Rick Renner is one person. God sent him to Russia. And If you're not from Russia, there's no way you're going to own property there. Well, he owns property now. Right in Moscow. He wasn't based in Moscow. I forget. I read the story. I don't know where he was. He was near Moscow, but they moved. The Lord directed him to move to Moscow, and he's within a stone's throw of the Kremlin. So now, I mean, he is there. And when you read, go to his website, it'll bless you to read what God has done with him there. All of his sons are working in the ministry. He took them to Russia. They all are fluent in Russian. They've all married Russian women. And he said that the son, they own the strongest and largest television station in Russia. They broadcast all over Russia. They own that. They also own the one of the largest, most prominent music recording studios in Russia. And his son is a musician. They're having an impact. And so should we. And I believe that we are going to and will make an impact in this nation. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for bringing our sights up another notch. Thank you, Father. We will identify with you. We refuse to blame others. We take responsibility with the Word of God, and we grow up. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving us insight into your Word and helping us. Thank you for being loving and caring and forgiving and kind. And Father, we're just grateful. Thank you for this great place. Thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. And we're expectant of great things, Father, in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.